Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. This is Mesa.
At this point in my life, I just want to have fun. And I want to spiritually, I have grown, and I know I have a long way to go. But what I do know right now is that God is amazing, and the universe is amazing, and there's so much out there for all of us, so we never have to worry and shed a tear. And I'm looking forward to the rest of my life. and causing anyone any pain.
Apologize. I'm just praying. Good morning, family. And as we turn within, recognizing that there is only one presence and one power. And as we invite the stillness into our presence right now, becoming one with the one, being very intentional about the breath. And as we send light and love into Monica's granny this morning, seeing granny perfect, whole, and complete as God dispatches his legion of healing angels around her right now, bringing peace that surpasses her own understanding, bringing forth love and sending love into her granny this morning. Thanking you, God, for peace. As we become intentional about the breath, I want you to enter into the presence. Breathing in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, releasing the breath. Remembering, family, there is power in the breath. I want you to take in a deep breath right now. Breathe. Just breathe. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. Do it again. Be still. Know that I am God. Let's breathe. And breathe. All right, let's breathe again. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And breathe. Last time. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. As we release, invite the energy of forgiveness into our present space right now. Give. I release and I let go. I forgive, I release, and I let go.
Day 4, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive my mother. Blessed Father God, Holy Mother God, today I ask for and allow myself to receive and experience your grace. Today I claim my freedom as I declare my willingness and readiness to release my mother from all hurt, anger, woundedness, judgment, disappointment, and sorrow hidden anywhere in my consciousness or being. I surrender all memories, experiences, circumstances, and situations where I have held my mother with blame or fault. I ask to be lifted above any and all judgments, critiques, assessments, perceptions, beliefs, and habitual patterns of thought in which I see and hold my mother as anything less than your perfect child. I ask that you fill me with your compassion, your truth, your knowledge that allows me to see my mother as your daughter, whom you love and in whom you are well pleased. Lift me beyond my intellect and ego that I may behold my mother with all my heart as you do. I rest in thee. I let it be. And so it is. Today, I forgive my mother. Forgiveness Meditation. This meditation is offered to support you in creating the experience of forgiveness within your mind and body. Forgiveness is the ultimate act of love. It is the choice to give away the hurt, pain, and memories attached to an experience, incident, or upset. Forgiveness transcends the smallness of anger, judgment, and pain, allowing the mind and heart to rise into a place of higher consciousness and love. In order to receive the full benefit of this meditative experience, it is recommended that you listen during a time and in a place where you will not be disturbed for 5 to 7 minutes. See, feel, imagine. Intended to be so. That you are sitting under a beam of golden light. That light comes from the heart or the mind of God, wherever that may be. And it shines down on you, covering you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, throughout every aspect and fiber of your being. Golden light. Breathe the light in. And release the light. Breathe the light in. And release the light. And allow your heart to be filled with the following thought form. I forgive, I am forgiving, I am forgiven, I am forgivable. I forgive, I am forgiving, I am forgiven, I am forgivable. For every hurt or pain or upset I have ever experienced, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. For every abandonment, every rejection, every disappointment that I have ever experienced in my life, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. And breathe the light. And allow it to fill you from the soles of your feet to the crown of your head and down again from your crown to your soul, the golden light of forgiveness. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. Breathe the light and release, knowing that the golden light of forgiveness is now integrated into every fiber of your being, and every hurt and every pain, every wound, every disappointment, rejection, judgment, belief, perception, that is anything but love, is now disintegrated in the golden light of forgiveness. As you know, affirm, believe, accept. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. I let it be. And so it is. And we take a long, deep inhale and a slow, complete exhale. A slow, complete inhale. And a slow, complete exhale. And wiggle your fingers and your toes, and stretch your body, allowing the energy of forgiveness to be fully integrated into every fiber of your being. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Focus your gaze upon one thing in the room. And take a long, deep inhale and drop it with the sound. Bring your awareness back to this space and this time, your body. Be renewed by the energy of forgiveness. As you move into your day, be sure to do something good for yourself. And be blessed.
I think that there's a time in your life when you realize that whatever it is that is eating you, whatever it is that you're running from, whatever it is that you're afraid of, you just have to stop, take a deep breath, turn around and face it. Face it. Stick your arms out as wide as you can and embrace it. Hold on real tight. You see, the tighter you hold on to it, the smaller it gets. And you just embrace it. And embrace it until you find yourself embracing yourself. Then you can move on with peace of mind and all that stuff. Just leave it behind. Sometimes you won't understand why life is the way it is. Things don't always go the way you plan them. But I believe God and time are synonymous. And through time, God reveals all things. You gotta be still. always carried me to safety, knowing that I go back to the same place again and again. Lord, no one could ever love me the way that you do. In spirit, mind, and body, I surrender myself daily to you. Oh, and I just wanna testify. I gotta testify. I just wanna testify. Oh, amazing grace saved my life. So sweet the journey when you learn to love yourself. Accept yourself, forgive yourself, believe in yourself, be yourself, yeah. With amazing grace as your constant friend. Say, I am free of anger, I am free of fear, and my mind is at ease. I don't regret a single yesterday, 'cause yesterday made me who I am today. Yeah, I just wanna testify. My mind is strong. I just gotta testify. I can see. I just wanna testify. Amazing grace saved my life. I gotta testify.
Another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Abram. I am your daily lover. That was Diarene's Justify. And the science of the mind today, we're going to start off with the science of mind. It says interested or invested. Interested or invested. Now, I want you to hear this quote. This is so interesting to me. It's by Vernon Howard. By the way, how was your affirmation throughout the day? I am the center of divine attraction. Wasn't that amazing? Every time I said it, it just sent chills through my spine. I am the center of divine attraction. That was that affirmation from yesterday. All right, I want you to really marinate on this, because this was profound to me. Many of us knock on the door, but we remain outside, because knocking and entering are entirely different actions. Wow. Many of us knock on the door, but we remain outside, because knocking and entering are entirely different actions. This is a Vernon Howard quote. This is Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. This is his mentor, Vernon Howard. Let me say it again, because I want you to think about it. How many of us are knocking on doors, but we don't enter? That's what this is basically saying. Many of us knock on the door, but we remain outside, because knocking and entering are entirely different actions. The Science of the Mind on page 398, this is the whole secret. A complete mental acceptance and an embodiment of our desires. there's a significant difference between being interested in a desire for something new and being invested in that desire. Simply being interested lacks commitment. Becoming invested makes our aspirations non-negotiable. Simply being interested lacks commitment, but becoming invested makes our aspirations non-negotiable. Often the distinction between these become muddled when we speak about the desire for change. We cannot simply be interested in the possibility of shifting our present reality and ushering in tangible changes. We cannot simply be interested in the possibility of shifting our present reality and ushering in tangible changes. We must become invested in these changes through deliberate, congruent action and mental focus. You see, spiritual author Vernon Howard elaborates on this with a similar distinction between knocking and entering. Knocking is necessary. And knocking consists of reading the books, attending the meetings, asking the question, he writes. But entrance requires much bolder action. It requires one to enter into oneself, to uncover hidden motives, to see the contradictions, and to realize the actual power for self-change. Wow. Many long for loving companionship. They may share their hope with others, read a book or two, confess their desire to a counselor, or even sign up for a date. The inner atmosphere of belief regarding themselves is toxic and unloving. There's fear of rejection, fear of intimacy. There's a longing for someone to fix things due to feeling powerless in life. Ooh-wee. That Vernon Howden stepped on some toes this morning, didn't he? Let me say that again. Many long for loving companionship. They may share their hope with others, read a book or two, confess their desire to a counselor, or even sign up for a dating service, yet their inner atmosphere of belief regarding themselves is toxic and unloving. There's a fear of rejection, a fear of intimacy. There is a longing for someone to fix things due to feeling powerless in life. You see, being invested in creating loving companionship starts with actively courting and loving oneself. Oof. Come on, Holy Spirit. The answer is us, ain't it? Come on, God. Being invested in creating loving companionship starts with actively courting and loving oneself. It requires an investment in dismantling the false beliefs and takes responsibility for personal happiness rather than placing that responsibility on another. As we claim and cherish the inherent worth of our own being by continuous practice, the world mirrors our investment. Wow. I never thought that reading this was going to end up this way. Wow. I don't know how many times I can say this, read this, or share this. The answer is you. You are the reason for your season right now, baby. I just love right here where it says, many of us long for companionship. We share hopes with others. We read a book or two, confess our desires, even sign up for dating service. Yet our inner atmosphere of belief regarding ourselves is toxic and unloving. Our inner atmosphere of belief regarding ourselves is toxic and unloving. I love it. You see, being invested in creating a loving, juicy, amazing life, it starts with us courting and loving ourselves. It requires an investment in letting go of false beliefs and taking responsibility for our own personal happiness. My grandmother used to tell us, can't nobody place no stars in your sky.
You got to place stars in your own sky. No, Grandma, then she used to tell us to just stop. No one can place stars in your sky except you. You're responsible for the stars in your own sky. You're responsible for your own happiness. You're responsible for creating the most juicy, amazing, authentic life you can. It's on you. This is what's really interesting. The world mirrors our investment. Do you like the dividends you are receiving? Come on now. Come on now. That's some good stuff, Janine. That needs to be tweeted. I came up with some good stuff right there, didn't I? The world mirrors our investment. Do we love or like the dividends we are receiving? Here's the affirmation. My mind is committed to right relationship with all. Now, if I was to do the affirmation, my mind is committed loving and cherishing myself. That's where mine will be today. My mind and my heart is committed loving and cherishing myself. My mind and my heart is committed to loving and cherishing myself. I am the center of divine attraction. Come on, family, let's say that together. I think that's appropriate for today again, right? Let's do it again today. Every hour and hour set our clock. I am the center of my divine attraction. I am the center of my divine attraction. Ooh, I am the center of my divine attraction. Just wondered if anybody had an opportunity to really say that throughout the day yesterday. I know for me, it was amazing to feel that affirmation and embody it in my heart. I am the center of my divine attraction. Wow. I was reading this article after having a long conversation with someone yesterday. And I don't know how this quote came up, so I wanted to read this little article to you. It says, do not grieve. Anything you lose comes around in another form, Rumi. And I thought, do not grieve. Anything you lose comes around in another form, Rumi. You know, I was telling them, sharing with them, my godmother had left me, you know, X amount of dollars, and but her children said they weren't going to follow the will. So I was a little disappointed that I wouldn't receive what I had an expectation of. And I thought I had to do some forgiveness work around it. And then I read this, do not grieve. Anything you lose comes around in another form. So I just give thanks for God always, always giving us more than we can ever expect. And so I just said, well, let me just read the article. So I'm going to read it to you. It says, this is a story about divine guidance and the ripple effect of one big commitment. It was last week of August. I was supposed to go on a trip with my ex to visit our friends and go to a concert. I decided not to go, and we decided it was a good week to take some space and evaluate whether or not we were going to stay in the relationship. You see, there are times in life when even the most fiercely independent of us find ourselves facing the feeling of there's no way I can possibly do this on my own. Though usually painful, there are great times because we are not meant to navigate this crazy earth experience solo. Let me read that again. You see, there are times in life when even the most fiercely independent of us find ourselves facing the feeling of there's no way I could possibly do this on my own. Though usually painful, there are great times because we are not meant to navigate this crazy earth experience solo. So I was feeling lonely and sad and how did I get to this place? So I decided to take a road trip up to Santa Barbara to visit friends. This is how I thought I would solve my being alone problem. I would soon find out that wasn't what life had in mind. Ooh, I just love how spirit do what it do. Whether or not you believe in God, spirit, guides, or guardian angels is none of my business, and you're welcome here no matter what. I believe in all of those things and was desiring to learn how to better communicate with them. So I downloaded Sonia Cloquet's Ask Your Guides on Audible for my road trip. With traffic, my 2.5-hour trip turned into 4 hours, and I knew the whole time it was because I needed this time with the book. So I sat calmly in my Mini Cooper on a 101 and listened. My heart was heavy. I cried many times, and as I did, I kept opening my heart to the new source of love and guidance. You see, I learned how to ask for guidance, call on for various things. For the very first time, I truly, deeply felt surrounded by this divine love and guidance. I always questioned. I realized that weekend that I had never been alone again. On my way back from Santa Barbara the next day, I stopped off in Malibu. Years ago, a friend had driven me through Malibu, and I fell in love with it, even dreamed about living there someday. It felt totally serendipitous to be there. That weekend, with my life in flux, having no idea what things were going to look like in the next few weeks, I laid on the beach for a bit, continued listening to Ask Your Guides, put my toes in the ocean, went for a walk. I breathed in the air, took in the sounds, and looked around at the beautiful homes, wondering what the people who lived in them, what did they do? And at this time, it wasn't just my relationship that was up in the air. It was also my business. I've been feeling restless, like I wanted to do something more meaningful, like I was over health and fitness, but not really clear on what or how to transition into something else. So I started thinking about how I've been working so hard for so many years and didn't have much to show for it in the physical world, and intuitively knew that was connected to my lack of passion for my work. Again, my heart felt heavy, and again, I cried. And then I remembered the story from my friend Kate Northrup's book about a conversation she had with Marie Forleo, and how Marie had wanted a brownstone in the Rush Village and at the time just wasn't willing to do whatever it would take to get it. And I realized how long it had been operating like that too. Unwilling to do whatever it would take to get what I wanted. I knew this was largely due to not knowing exactly what I wanted. So as I walked the beach, staring up at those beautiful beach homes, I decided it was okay to not know what I wanted to do with my life. And I got clear on one thing. I did want a beach house. And I let that be the symbol for something I can hold a deep desire for in my life that would represent having figured out the rest of the details. So using my brand new cosmic communication skills, I let God, my angels, and my highest vibration spirit guides know that I was finally willing to do whatever it takes to get it. I told them I'll be looking, listening, and feeling for their guidance, and thanked them profusely for their love and assistance. 3 weeks later, the WOW idea for a WOW soul movement was born. 2 months later, I met a man whose presence in my life has been one giant invitation into love and expansion. Most days, I can't believe he really exists.
4 months later, I moved to L.A., which feels like magic every day. And this week, approximately 9 months later, the result of that commitment was born. My website and my mission finally feel my life's work folded in divine synchronicity, joy, and ease. I like that. It all unfolded with divine synchronicity, joy, and ease. Now it's your turn. What area of your life is begging for some kind of divine intervention, some kind of clarity, or even more simply, some loving, compassionate attention? And I just, after reading that, I had this heart filled with such joy. I had another conversation with someone, and we were talking about just how simple life is, but we make it complex. Just how simple life is, but we make our life so complex. Now, I don't know why we committed to struggle. Why have we committed ourselves to the belief that we got to struggle to make things happen? Now, I want to go back to the quote, "Do not grieve. Anything you lose comes around in another form." It's funny how we sit and get still. How life just do what it do with ease, elegance. And she says divine synchronicity. I always say with ease, elegance, and grace, but now I'm going to use ease, elegance, and grace, and divine synchronicity. That's why I love the affirmation. Again, our assignment today is every hour on the hour, I am divine attraction. I am the center of divine attraction. And I want us to think about what commitment have we made to ourselves. One of my favorite people on the planet says you got to be committed to the commitment. You got to be committed to the commitment. Have you ever noticed that once you really start committing to something, it almost seems as if everything in the universe is conspiring against you to make that happen? A lot of times people stop, they give up, they see it as a sign that it's not the right time or it's not supposed to happen or they should try something else or that if this is what they really were supposed to be doing, it would be easier. But what if it was just the opposite? By passionately committing to something with extraordinary action, you usher into motion a whole cause and effect universe that puts things into play that actually aid and assist you on your journey. If you're brave enough to continue pushing through to the end, but you have to stay. Things that happen to us in life aren't meant to stop us. I heard a quote one day about a Zen proverb saying, "The obstacles in the path are not to stop you, but they are the path." Some people think they're meant to test our resolve, to test just how committed we truly are. Maybe. But what if it was just simply the law of physics? Now, I'm not going to go through no Albert Einstein stuff on you this, but what if it was just simply the law of physics? That the more you get into the game of life and the more you take action, the more you're going to affect and be affected by events. Let me say that again. What if the things that are happening was simply the law of physics?
that the more you get into the game of life and the more you take action, the more you're going to affect and be affected by these series of events. I want to stop here as I think about Tyler Perry. And I talk about Tyler Perry's story a lot because I love the story that, you know, the first year he saved all his money, invested in this play, and only 35 people showed up, and all 35 people, someone he knew. He did it again, and he did it again, and another year come by, he tried again, and now he quit his job, and he put all his soul effort into it, and now he homeless because he can't pay his car note and his all these bills that he didn't pay, thinking that he would get the money back. I know that story, too. I've been there. But what if he wasn't committed to the commitment? Well, we know Tyler Perry today. That if we simply think about this as a game of life and for us to take more action, the more we're committed to the dream comes alive. It means you've activated. It means you're living. It means you're actually participating fully in your life, all of it. Not just the easy stuff, not just the stuff that doesn't test you or make you feel doubt or feel like a setback, but all of life. Life is not supposed to be just comfortable, because sometimes we need something to awake us. How boring would that be? What if there were never challenges and we were hardwired to seek challenge? Challenges are what lead us to develop curiosity and further adventures, and challenges reveal latent talents within us and our strength of character and our ability or our sense of humor or our resilience. Yes, that's a good word, resilience. There's no force out there trying to keep us from what we want. Let me just remind you right now, there's nothing outside of you that's working against you to keep you from what you want. There's no evil troll in the sky throwing curveballs at you saying you can't have this. The only thing that keeps us from what we want is not being committed to the commitment. Not being committed to the commitment. And so today, I wanted us to really think about how many of us are commitment focused. Just think about it. I know. I was talking to my girlfriend, and she said every time she make a commitment to work on her body and go to the gym, something goes wrong with the car, something goes wrong with this and that. And I just guess that maybe it's just the law of physics. You make a commitment, and there's an effect, or your resistance of wanting to do that. Something comes up. And you, and it wants to say, are you really committed to the commitment? So, wow. So when we really think about it, are we really committed to the commitment? Are we really committed to our commitment of our own self? Are you committed to your commitment to love and cherish the gift that you are to you? So today I want us to think about, are we really committed? Are you willing to do what it takes for you? Are you willing to be what it takes to be all you can be, to live your dream? And play full out. Are you really ready to be committed to the commitment? I am the center of my divine attraction.
I'm committed. And so today, I was thinking that maybe we should write out a commitment, sign this contract. So you're like, Janine, always coming up with something. But think about it. Whenever we committed to something, we sign these contracts, right? What if we signed a contract to be committed to the commitment of self? Because when we make up to our dreams, to our life, to ourselves, doors will fly open. If we get up every morning and be committed to the commitment of our own self, the love for ourselves, the secrets of our gift to the planet, and I know we all have a story, and it's important that we tell our story. And I love the power of storytelling. I love a good story. Important that we tell our story. I tell my story because my story has shaped me into who I am today. And I want to be bold, brave, and vulnerable whenever I get the opportunity. Even when I read someone else's story or listen to someone's story, it touches my heart. It makes me think, ooh, if they can do it, I can do it too. It also creates empathy and compassion in my soul. You see, that's the power of storytelling. Brené Brown once said, owning our story can be hard, but not nearly as difficult as spending our lives running from it. Let me say that again. Dr. Brené Brown once said, owning our story can be hard, but not nearly as difficult as spending our lives running from it. You see, embracing our vulnerabilities can be risky, but not nearly as dangerous as giving up on love and belonging and joy. You see, these experiences that make us the most vulnerable only really makes us brave enough to explore the darkness. And we can discover the infinite power of light. Let me say that again. So many times, we are afraid of the darkness. We're afraid of our vulnerability. But only when we're brave enough to explore that dark side of us, that vulnerable side of us, will we discover the infinite power of the light, the infinite power of who we are, the infinite power of who we are as divine creators and divine attractors. If no one has ever said this to you, those of you who share your incredible stories, I thank you. I thank Tyler Perry. I thank Oprah Winfrey. I thank each and every one of you who call me and share your stories with me, because you make me a better person through understanding that I'm not alone. The breakthroughs, the running from crazy, the running back to crazy, all make us want to wake up each morning and strive to be compassionate, kind, giving, and responsible for the energy that I put back into the world. It makes me want to be responsible for the energy that I put into the world. And at the end of each day, I ask myself, what kind of energy did I put in the world today? Was I compassionate? Did I learn? Did I take notice of the teachers I encountered through this day? What made me uncomfortable today, and how does that discomfort remind me of the unhealed parts of myself? Ooh, now that's really a challenging question when I'm writing in my journal. When I write in my journal, I ask myself, what made me feel uncomfortable today, and how does that discomfort remind me of the unhealed parts of myself? Whew. And you know why that's an interesting question? Because of the triggers. You see, when you want to step out into being committed to your commitment to yourself, somebody may call you and remind you of something that triggers you. And I often ask myself, you know, it's those things that call your attention and make you think, or make you feel some kind of way in your unhealed space. keep reminding that I'm on this journey to heal. And you know what I love about always finishing my journal at night after I ask those questions to myself? I challenge myself to remind myself that I don't have to show up perfect or show up in the expectation of someone else's section of me. Come on, Janae. How many times is it hard to be committed to your commitment of yourself because of sometimes the way it looks or the way it may not show up the way someone may think it and show up, and then they call you and try to put what they think your life should be like for you. And then they try to place that projection on you and make you feel guilty or bad because maybe you're not showing up in that success, but you know God called you this way. You know, like I heard Tyler Perry say, God told him to quit, but now he's homeless. And his mom told him when he, you know, needed the money to pay his credit card because he couldn't pay for the van. And his mother was giving him the money, but she said, you need to go get you a job. You need to go get you a good government job so you can get your teeth fixed and you can have good government insurance. How many times somebody's in your face because it doesn't, because your success doesn't look like what it should be looking like? But you know you're on the right track. It's just that you haven't manifested the material things that success is supposed to look like, right? And so when I hear stories like Tyler Perry or other people, Reginald Lewis and other people whose stories resonate, I challenge you today to share your story. I challenge you today to share your story because your story just might be the story that saves somebody else's life. Why? Because you never know how your story will help others. Before I started really getting on this love journey and creating this prayer line, I hid my story behind shame. Yep. I hid my story behind shame. People thought I came from this phenomenal mother, and I did. They thought I had this amazing mother and father, lived in a big house. Well, no, I didn't. Been in the streets of Chicago. I remember walking across the campus of Chicago State University the day I was filling out my papers to graduate. And I said to myself, wow, this little girl from the south side of Chicago, who grew up in the streets of Chicago, who barely got her high school diploma, is graduating from college. And tears rolled down my eyes. The tears rolled down my eyes because I never saw that day coming. You see, I hear a lot of teachers and people and talk about these kids and this and these children and that. And, you know, I was sitting at the table Sunday, and one of the ladies, she's an OB/GYN, she's 38, and you can hear her story coming from these phenomenal parents, and how her mother and father and blah, 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 and the other lady who was being honored, her mother and father, and everybody was saying about how these children today, and I just stopped them. I said, it's easy for us to have this conversation. I said, but if we don't know nobody's story, we can't sit here and talk about it. Why are they showing up the way they're showing up? A lot of these children don't have an idea of college or dreams or any of that because when you have to wake up every day and your only thought is to survive, you think you're getting up thinking about college? Absolutely not. I didn't know nothing about no college, even being my next step. I didn't even know how to get into a college because every day was about, can I eat today? I'm going to make sure that I feed myself so that I can eat today. How I'm going to make sure I got clean clothes to wear to school today. I need another pair of shoes because I don't have no shoes. My shoes don't fit no more. That's your process waking up in the morning. You think somebody thinking about college dreams? When your only thought is survival, I don't understand why people think that these kids should have a dream.
that they should be thinking about the next step. And you wonder why these girls get pregnant, because it's easy to get caught up in the idea when someone says to you that I love you, and you think they really do love you, and all they really want is something that is to get into your intimate presence, that you really was the object, finally, of somebody's affection. You really thought at this point somebody really did notice you, that you was important to somebody, and in reality you weren't. You think I'm going to have a dream? You think I'm going to graduate from college? You think I'm going to even think about college? No. But I had to finally surrender to the fact that I needed to release my story out. I needed to let go of that little girl who was protecting herself. You see, the story we tell ourselves is the story that we continue to live to protect ourselves, and how it was affecting my present life negatively. So that's why life opened up and knocked me upside my head and flipped me up 2, 3, 4, 5 times, because it was time to release that story. And it was here, starting this prayer line, that I began to open up with no expectation other than to be brave enough to share it. Sharing my story has created an evolution in my life. I've connected with others who have graciously responded with, ooh, me too. It has brought closure to my dark times and awakenings within my soul. You see, the result for me, I can make sense of it all and move forward, and I always try to be conscious now every moment. So what is your story? What are you willing to let go? What are you willing to share about your authentic self? Who were your teachers? How have they shaped your day? Begin writing without a script. And if you want to tell your story on the love journey, I promise I'll read it if you hit and put it on the love journey and post it. Tell your story. You see, telling my story has become freeing. See, when I wrote my book, Born to Be Rich, I never thought that I was doing a healing journey. I thought, oh, God, how did I get caught up in writing this book? But after reading my manuscript and reading everything and actually putting it on paper, if it had never got published, it would have been okay, because after I hit that last dot on the last sentence, there was this relief. All of it, but enough of it to heal. And then when I went back and took out some of the things, because I didn't want to hurt people's feelings and I didn't want people to feel hurt, or I didn't want to expose other people, I still felt good about the fact that it had even got written down. And when I hear my story, sometimes I'm like, wow. So if you decide you want to tell your story, it would be so nice, because I love to read a good story. I love to hear a good story. And I tell you, I take time to read each one of your stories. And I'll react with a smile. I understand that politics of today are important issues, but wouldn't it be nice to balance it with another conversation, a conversation that connects us instead of dividing us? You know, so many times I get in my Uber cars, you know, because I'm the Uber queen. I don't know, I feel like my driver is coming to pick me up and my driver is dropping me off at the front door. And that just is the stone gas for me, because that was my prayer. I said, one day I want to have me a driver. And anybody who knows Chicago, I was downtown on Oak Street. Now, Chicago is a beautiful place to me. It's just like one of the most beautiful, fascinating places. A variety of reasons. But there's this street called Oak Street, and it's a street with the most fabulous stores, you know, like one coat might cost $20,000, you know, something of that nature. Where one day I was walking down Oak Street and I saw this beautiful necklace and went into the store. They wanted $500,000 for the necklace. It was so beautiful. But it's just a beautiful place of richness and Oak Street is just phenomenal. Okay, so I'm standing on Oak Street. I'm doing some shopping. Yes, y'all, I was able to do a little shopping, just a little. So this lady, beautiful black lady, she walking down the street running and smiling, and just the image of her. And she got all these bags. And her driver's standing outside with his cap and his black car, and he sees her running. He told her, he holds his hand out, and he comes and gives her bag, and he opens the door, put her in, and he puts the bag in the car. And she had been at Juicy Couture store, and then she had went into who else was it? It was some store. I can't think of the name of it right now off the top of my head, but it was, you know, one of those rich, amazing stores. She just got all these bags, and she just smiling. And she was an African-American lady, and her driver was waiting on her. And I just stood there, literally in the middle of Oak Street, and just watched her in amazement and awe and love, and said, that's going to be me. That's going to be me. And so one day I'm in my Uber car, right? And I'm getting dropped off, and the guy gets out the car, opens the door, and he takes my hand and takes me out. And I was like, you know, I'm doing the job, not the way that I thought, but look at God. God gave me my drivers every day that I want to take an Uber. If I don't want to take an Uber, I can drive my own car. But if I want to get a driver, I call my driver up, and my driver picks me up at the front door, and I'm good. So why am I telling you that? I'm telling you this because I want us to have a new narrative today. And when we start to get our story out and tell our story about our authentic self, not from a place of a victim, but a place of how we overcame, it blesses somebody else. I can't tell you how many stories I've read, Reginald Lewis story. One part that I love about Reginald Lewis, and in case you don't know who Reginald Lewis was, one of the richest, well, he was the richest black man in the 80s, 90s area. He was the first black man to successfully leverage out a buyout on Wall Street. He owned TOC and Beatrice. But anyway, I love the story of how he got into Harvard because he wanted to go to Harvard. But let me tell you how inspiring that was to me when I read that story, because his grades didn't extrapolate that he should be going to Harvard. Always more than one way to enter a door. And what was so powerful about it is he found a way to go there and volunteer and then get the notice of one of the head counselors there who were responsible for getting to Harvard. Well, long story short, he got into Harvard. He was the first black man to own an office on Wall Street. And what Reginald Lewis' story remind me of is when people say you can't, creative enough, you can. Let me say that again. His story reminded me that there wasn't, the no didn't mean nothing to me. No just was a delay, and that I needed to think of another way to get in. And that's how I lived my life. See, his story was a blessing to me. I never got to meet him in person, but I got the opportunity to read his story back in the 90s. And the name of his book is Why Should White Guys Have All the Fun? You see, telling his story blessed my life. Succeeding against the odds, John Johnson's story blessed my soul. He took $500 and built Ebony Magazine. $500. He was the first black man to own property down on Michigan Avenue in Chicago. He was a guy who decided that he wanted the magazine to tell our stories our way, because it was important that we saw ourselves in the magazine. It was important that we understood where we come from. And so he decided to create this magazine. And he went door to door to door to get a subscription. When I went to John Johnson's funeral it was amazing to hear all these amazing people, President Clinton, he told amazing stories. Lerone Bennett, if you ever heard Lerone Bennett speak, he's a master storyteller. Now, Lerone Bennett wrote Before the Mayflower. He wrote several books about our history. He was part of the Ebony magazine. Hugh Hefner's daughter. I mean, did you know that John Johnson, when Martin Luther King was in prison, he hired the NAACP head attorney at the time, sent him down there with $300,000 in cash money to get Martin Luther King released from prison. Come on, Holy Spirit. These stories, many times reading them, how they came off the pages of different books, changed my life. Somebody else's today. I'm challenging you to share your story. Not necessarily just for the benefits of somebody else, but for you. Share your story. If there's any questions, comments, concerns, press 1 on Blog Talk and star 6 on a teleconference line. I'm excited that you came to be a part of the love journey today and allowed me to share my story. So just for today, every hour and hour, I am the center of divine attraction. Am the center of divine attraction. Remember, you got to be committed to the commitment. This is Kim. When you look for heaven, you got to find that heaven is on the inside. I mean, you've been tuned in to the love journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram, reminding you that you are a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back from God. Choose love, family. Love is the only truth.
See the way you look at me. Right. I pray for you day in and day out. Something's happening to me. The man I used to be. To be.
heavens and you.
Heaven's in you.